story one begins asking us if we have ever been lost. Have you ever been lost? I have. When I was young, maybe 10 years old, a whole bunch of us went to play hide and go seek at this place way out in the bush. And we had a counselor, someone who was kind of responsible for us. We were playing hide and seek, and the afternoon finished up. All the rest of us, except for me, piled in the van. The counselor does the countdown, 10, 9, 8, 7. Everyone has their number. They say their number. Somehow, my number gets skipped over. And away goes the brown van, and Jeremy is left behind in the bush by himself. Alone. No one to call for help. No one nearby. Alone. In the wilderness. Have you ever been lost? But the reality is that I was lost at, you know, as a 10-year-old, but there have been many times in my life that inside I have felt lost. Have you ever felt that? That lostness? And you know, perhaps you're thinking, well, before I knew Jesus, I was lost. And yes, that is true. But I'm also offering, perhaps even in your walk with Jesus, there are times where you feel lost. Where this God who says that he is near and present seems far away. It makes me think of the people of Israel, because this psalm is about them. The people of Israel, they're perhaps counting this lostness they experienced in the desert. But wait, were they really lost? God had offered to God was leading these people out of captivity in Egypt. Through the desert, God was a fire by night and a cloud by day. But do you think they ever felt lost, even there in the wilderness, even though God's presence was right in front of them? I imagine they did. I know for sure, according to the story, they were scared at times. They were terrified. They were hungry, even though God's presence as a cloud was there during the day and the fire by night. Have you experienced that? As a follower of Jesus, you know in your mind, you know according to the Bible, that God is near. But in your heart at times, you wonder and you ache and you feel lost and you ask the question, where is God? You experience things in your life, perhaps like the people of Israel did, probably not the same thing in our context, but they experience hunger, thirst. And though God's presence is near, yet their needs are real. I have felt this lostness, this question of where is God, or more specifically, why does God not fix this part of my life? I have felt that time and time again in 2025. Have you felt that? Does that mean that God is far or that he is not near? And so we are asked the same question as the people of Israel. We are asked, what will we do with our lostness? Well, the people of Israel, they did one thing. But in their pain, in their suffering, they cried out, Lord, help! And the scriptures tell us he rescued them from their distress. He led them straight to safety, to a city where they could live. And so I have also seen this rescue in my life in 2025, and I'm sure some of you have as well. You've seen the hand of the Lord on your life guiding you and caring for you and helping you. And at times it seems like though the way to the destination felt far away and impossible, yet the Lord shows up and leads you straight to the destination. And so when we reflect back and we look at the ways in which God has led us, the lostness that maybe we felt, but yet the fact that we are found and led by God, we join with the congregation of Psalm 107 and we also sing, give thanks to the Lord. Oh, let us praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he has done for them. For he satisfies the thirsty and he fills the hungry with good things. That is our first story in Psalm 107. Our second story or scenario that the poet gives us begins like this. Some knew the dark. Some knew the deepest gloom. Some were depressed. Some sat in iron chains of misery, for they had rebelled against the words of God, scorning the counsel of the Most High. Perhaps the listeners of that day, the gathered congregation, perhaps they remembered the captives that had been dragged across the desert to Babylon. Perhaps they remembered how they had disobeyed the Lord and that this situation they found themselves in now was because of their own forgetting of the ways of the Lord. And here we come to a hard text in the scripture, one that we're not accustomed to. So God broke them with hard labor. They fell down, but there was no one to help. And so we too remember the days, perhaps in this past year, where we too have crossed a line that we knew was wrong. We chose not to care what God would think. And so we too have experienced a kind of captivity. We perhaps remember how, not in the same way as the people of Israel, but we can relate. We become a captive. We were led into a desert, a place of lostness. Perhaps we became captive, or perhaps we are captive to an addiction. Perhaps we're captive to inner guilt. Perhaps we're captive to loneliness. Perhaps we are captive to isolation. Perhaps we are captive to the dark powers. And in that place, in that dungeon that we are in, we stumbled. And there was no one to help. We were all alone. It seemed like people walked around us. They didn't care. They didn't see us. Have you felt that way in the last year? There are ways in this last year that I have also felt captive to things like fear and shame. I have at times felt alone. But I also refuse to be trapped by it, to be defined by it, to be held down by it. The poet recalls how the people of Israel cried out when faced with these kinds of situations. Lord, help! And he saved them from their distress. In 2025, have you felt captive to something? With that captivity, have you also raised up your arm and have you cried out, Lord, help? Because when you do, the scriptures tell us that he picks us up. He leads us from the darkness and the deepest gloom. He bursts the bonds. He snaps the chains. He smashes down the prison gates. He cuts apart the bars of iron. And so we reach out our hands, we put up our hands, and we cry out, Lord, help. And though our wrists were shackled, though we were shackled with shame or fear or guilt, we can still bow down our heads and the Lord will come and save us from our distress. And slowly we gain the ground. We conquer the addiction. We realize that in Christ we are forgiven. We realize that we belong to a family and we are not alone. We realize that we don't belong to those dark powers. We belong to the powers of Jesus Christ. And so we can lift our heads up. And we can cry out, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Let us praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he has done to them. The poet in Psalm 107 brings us the third part of his story. He says, even more of us were fools. We had rebelled. We had suffered for our sins. Our own actions had brought us this destruction. He says death itself was near. He says it felt like we were empty, like we were a ghost, a nothing, a body that barely breathed and barely walked. But these people of Psalm 107, when they felt that way, they had lifted up their hands and they had cried out, "Lord, help." And the Lord, he sent out his word. You see, when God sends out his word, God's word is powerful and mighty. God speaks and the earth is created. When God sends out his word, the sun begins to shine. He puts stars in the night sky and he snatches us away from the door of death. And so, what do? Our hands also go up with the poet and we shout out, "Let us praise the Lord. Let us thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men." The poet now continues on to his fourth story. He says, "We went off in ships. We sailed out into the world of adventure and trade and success, and we thought all would be well." Reminds me of the time that my three younger brothers, decided in New Brunswick in early spring, just as soon as the streams had burst open, to go canoeing. So they chose the Dungarvan River. You can look it up after. It's in New Brunswick. And with their friends, they packed up on this big adventure. They went out. Snow is like very deep, feet deep on the side of the banks. And they start canoeing the river. Well, one wrong turn or one waterfall too late. I wasn't there, so I can't say. But what I can tell you is that their canoe capsized and bodies and gear were floundering in hypothermic water. They had set off on an adventure of a lifetime to ply the trade routes, Psalm 107 might tell us. And there they are, lost in hypothermic water in New Brunswick. And so they shoot out their flare, "Help," which is a satellite phone, to my father. And so father and son Jeremy head off on a rescue mission to rescue the people that we love. And so putting ourselves in harm's way, you might say, for these people that we love, we travel across the province. We wake up neighbors because by then night's coming. We finally get down to this stream having, you know, gotten a someone woken them up and gotten them to come down there with us with their half ton because there was so much snow on the logging road. We get there, rescue them, start driving back up this steep hill, slide off into the ditch. Eventually, our rescue mission is successful and we rescue them because these were people that we love. It makes me think, when I began the psalm, we heard as we read it, it said, "There are people gathered from the north, the south, the east, and the west." The south, the word south in the Hebrew is sea. The north, the sea, the east, and the west. Isn't it something? Has your life gone south? Have you ventured out into life and chaos has come? The sea has come. Are you lost out there? The poet remembers this day in the sea, the place of chaos. He says, "It seemed as though God stirred up the waters." That God himself did that, the poet says. "The storms came. Our boat went way up on the waves and then smashed us back down. And we as sailors, it was like we were drunken people on this boat, and we cried out, 'Lord, help.'" Has this been your experience in part in 2025, where it seemed like all was well? You set out on an adventure of perhaps a lifetime. Perhaps you're a student, perhaps a business venture. Nothing of your fault. You set out and suddenly chaos ensues, something you weren't planning. Makes me think of the phone calls I received in 2025. Last February it was, I get a phone call that my brother has been T-boned in an accident and is being taken to the hospital. A few weeks ago, I get a call that my mother has fallen down the stairs and has shattered her wrist and lay there without help or sat there without help for hours, no one to come. Have you had experiences like this in 2025? I know you have, because I've talked to you. I know your stories of suffering that have occurred to you in 2025. The cancer diagnoses, the tragic accidents, the overdoses, the housing prices, the broken vehicles, the jobs that are lost. And what do we do? What do we do to join with the people of Psalm 107? By now, we should know the pattern. We lift up our arms and we cry out, "Lord, help." And when we do this, the poet tells us that a calm comes to the storm. You might imagine Jesus walking across the chaos waters of our lives, coming to us. You might imagine us having the courage to get out of the boat and to walk onto the chaos waters. And you might imagine us becoming afraid and sinking into the water, much like Peter did. And what do we do in that moment? We cry out, "Lord, help." And Jesus reaches down his arm to us as he does to Peter, and he pulls us out of the water. Because Jesus is enough. Because Jesus is sufficient for every storm and for every situation. And oh, what a blessing is that stillness as he brings us safely into the harbor. And our hands go up now, and we shout out, and we say, "Praise the Lord! Let us thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men." And then we begin to look around us, and we begin to remember in 2025 how faithful and good God has been to us. How even though there's been times where we have ignored him and we have disrespected him, how he has changed things in our favor. And yes, though at times, the psalm tells us, he changes the good things into bad things, we have seen him also bring us life where there is death. It seems that when we are willing to lift up our hands, even when we have caused our own pain, he comes quickly to us. When we bow our heads ever so slightly and our heart becomes humble and we cry out to God, he comes toward us, loving us, desiring to be with us. It's as if he's waiting for that hand to go up and for that head to be bowed. There's a story in the New Testament of a son that left his father. The son went and lived however he wanted with his father's inheritance, doing whatever he wanted to do, living an immoral life. But the moment that son decided, "You know what? I was better off with my father," he decides to return to his father. And the father, who had been waiting a long time for his son, comes running to him. And such is the same for you and I. The head bowed, the hands folded in prayer. God sees. God comes. He throws himself on us. He kisses us. He throws a party for us. And so we lift up our hand and we say, "Lord, help." And when we do that, under his watchful care, even the people that are doing evil things to us, the psalm says, God sends those evil people into the wilderness. The Lord comes to our rescue, rushing to help us. He causes our families to thrive. He causes the things around us to germinate, new life to come out of ashes, out of brokenness. He brings life into places of death. He scatters light into the darkness. He brings peace into the chaos, and he brings belonging into places of loneliness. It reminds me, and some of you have almost certainly seen this picture. It'll be on the screen here. It's a picture of a little flower. This flower is shriveled and broken. It was left on the counter by our oldest son. No life left in this little flower, but my wife, who loves all of our kids and thinks about them and longs for them, she picked that shriveled little bouquet up and stuck it in a cup. And there the bouquet began to grow again. The blossoms unfolded. Instead of a shriveled up, lost little flower, it became a flower that was beautiful. In such the same way, God takes our shriveled up, our broken, our lost lives, and breathes life into them. And so, we believe that God loves us. We trust. And when death and brokenness and chaos would threaten to make us think that it has the final say, we read Psalm 107. Because we serve a God who is alive, a God who promises to come to us and to restore us. Jesus says it this way. He says, "The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." Do you believe this? And when the upright people see the goodness of God like this, they raise up their hands and they say, and by now we should all know this, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." And the psalm tells us the wicked, when they see the upright people doing this, they are stopped in their tracks. The evil people, they thought they would win. They thought they had the power. They thought they had the final say. But no, they were wrong. Their lives, maybe they looked good. Maybe they thought they had what they wanted. Maybe they seemed to have the upper hand. But they were wrong. Because we serve a God who gives a home to the homeless, who brings light to the darkness, who breaks the bonds, who calms the storms, who brings stillness, who creates gardens of beauty in desert places. Have you seen it this last year? Have you seen this garden grow out of the ashes of your life? I have. I've seen it in our family. I have seen people in our family pick up a Bible that I've never picked up a Bible while I've have been married to my wife, Alyssa. I have seen spiritual conversations among us that have been something that haven't always been there. I've seen in my own soul internal growth and healing. I've heard God's still small voice saying, "Jeremy, I take delight in you." Have you heard it? Has this been your experience in 2025? I know you have. I've heard some of your testimonies. I've heard some of your prayers that have been answered. I've seen in our community here at Transformation Church ways in which you have treated each other with love and respect and sacrificial love. I have seen God's goodness in 2025. And so here's what I'm asking you to do today. I'm asking you to look back over 2025 and consider the ways in which God has led you. Would you say in 2025 that at times you wandered in a desert waste? No place to go? You were hungry and thirsty? Your soul was barren and empty? Would you say in 2025 that at times You were in the darkness and deepest gloom, imprisoned in misery or in grief? Would you say that you have felt abandoned by God? And in part, you know that this is maybe because of your own actions. Would you say in 2025 that at times you've been a fool, that you have rebelled, and that you suffer in some way today for those decisions? As a matter of fact, in 2025, would you say, yes, at times I felt like death was knocking on my door. As a matter of fact, I actually wished that I could die. But no, death wouldn't come. Would you say in 2025 that you were like a merchant on the sea? You set out, all was well, it was going to be good. Maybe a student, maybe a new business, maybe a successful career. Maybe you thought, well, for sure my family's doing fine. We're all good. Finally, we're all good. And you went out there and no, something happened. As we look back on 2025, we perhaps see ourselves in all four of these scenarios. Some of us have felt lost. We've been homeless. Perhaps we feel afraid in a nation that seems to not be going the direction we think it should go. Perhaps our souls have been empty at times, hungry, thirsty, clutching, grasping for one more breath. Perhaps no light penetrated into our life at times. The drugs had overtaken us. The pornography had at times swamped us. The anger had engulfed us. The hatred, it had filled us. The greed, it had broken us. The division, the envy. And then maybe our savings had even threatened to disappear. But today, we stand invited to join the listeners of Psalm 107 and lift up our hands and say, God, help. And let me tell you something. A mighty movement begins, a move of God coming to us as people, buying us back, redeeming us, making us part of his family. Because this rescuer, he's not like any other rescuer. He comes to the wanderer in the wilderness. He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. He breaks apart the prison gates and cuts the bars of iron. He snaps the chains. He leads us out of the darkness and the deepest gloom. He heals us, snatching us away from death. He brings calm and peace in the midst of a storm. And what a blessing is that stillness. And the Lord heard, and the Lord answered. I'm going to invite the worship team here at this time. Perhaps some of us, we would say, yes, this has been my experience in 2025, both the struggle and both the deliverance. But perhaps others of us here today are saying, you know what, this is my reality right now. And perhaps right now, today, is an opportunity to raise up your hand and to say, Lord, help. Because God, he takes the mess that we've made, the brokenness of this world, the darkness and the chaos, the loss, the pain, the sin, and out of the nothingness, out of the desert, he makes pools of water. He turns dry land into springs of water. So that those of us who are hungry and thirsty and poor, we can settle there. Where God protects us and cherishes us and loves us. And then we join the congregation and we shout out to the leaders, to the church, to the whole world. We sing, we dance, and we praise. And we say, shout, for your Redeemer faithfully loves you. Let them give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let those who are wise among us today take all this to heart. For they will see in our history the faithful love of the Lord. I invite you to pause in this moment. Maybe just open up your hands to the Lord, if you will, as a way of surrender. representing 2025 behind you, representing 2026 to come, representing the pain that you have experienced, the loss perhaps, the chaos perhaps, representing also hands of gratitude to a God who cares for you and loves you and comes to you and watches out for you. Just take a moment. We'll just pause for a moment of silence while we do that together. Lord, some of us today, we're here, but we're barely hanging on. Some of us today, Lord, we're aware that you have been guiding us and leading us. Some of us today, we're just raising our hand up and we're saying, Lord, we need help. Some of us today, we're saying, Lord, look at the faithful works that you have done in our lives. We come to you. No matter what situation we are in, no matter what situation has perhaps caused where we are now, but we come because you are a God that brings life where there is death. You are a God who takes the deserts and turns them into gardens. You are a God who said, "The one who believes in me will never really die." Lord, we hang on to this truth because we believe in you. And we believe in you because the scriptures have told us that you came among us, Emmanuel, God with us, that you died a death on a cross, but that you rose again and you have promised to one day make all things right. And so we bring you ourselves and our brokenness and our sin. We bring you our families. We bring you our colleagues. We bring you our neighbors. We bring you each other, and we give it all to you. Jesus, lead us into 2026. Perhaps you're here today, and this is the first time you've heard this message of Jesus, and perhaps this is a day where you would like to surrender your life to him. I'm just asking you to keep your heads bowed like you have already. And if you're saying, Jesus, I surrender myself, I give myself over to you, I haven't known you. I have lived my own way and I have done my own thing. And if today you're saying, I want to change that, I want to follow Jesus, I don't know exactly what this is going to look like, but in this moment, I am saying, Jesus, I will follow you where you ask me to go. I will do what you ask me to do. I will give myself to you. Then at this moment, I'm inviting you to just put your hand up in your seat wherever you are. If today that is a decision that you're making. Thank you. Lord Jesus, loves us so dearly. The Lord Jesus sees us even when we have turned away and done our own thing, and the Lord Jesus gives himself up through dying on a cross for us, a God who loves his people. So to those who put their hand up today, know this: the Lord Jesus loves you.